For today's reading, we will be in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, we're going to look at the last church of these little letters written to them with Laodicea. So Revelation 3, verse 14, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I want to finish with this last letter to Laodicea before we continue into chapter 4. So let's think about Laodicea for a moment. They weren't very far from Philadelphia. They were maybe 40, 50 miles away and some 90 miles from Ephesus. And the city was a city that was known for a lot of wealth. In fact, there have been some archaeological discoveries in the area showing that this might have been an area in which some of the coins for the Roman Empire were actually minted in this city. Well, in about AD 60, there was an earthquake that came, and it devastated the city. But unlike a lot of cities, they didn't wait for Rome to assist them and come in and help them rebuild. They did it on their own. They did it by their own resources and by their own motivations. And so that gives us a little bit of an idea of maybe the frame of mind of the citizens there, of being very independently minded. And most of them were well off, so they had a lot of resources available to them. This section starts out with, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea, the words of the Amen." This is from a Hebrew word meaning to be firm or to be steadfast. It's very close to another Hebrew word for truth, and it was intended to express certainty. So when he says or describes himself as the Amen, he's saying the one who is certain, the one who is so steadfast that anything they says is they say is automatically a guarantee. That's how sure their word is. So that's how he's describing himself here. I think this is also a reference to the fact that God doesn't change. He is who he is, and who he is does not change. And so in verse 15, he says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." I drink tea and coffee most of the time, sometimes water, but most of the time we're drinking either tea or coffee. And there's nothing like picking up your cup of coffee, expecting it to be hot and enjoyable, and find that it's no longer hot. And so a lot of times, if I've let my coffee get to that point, I might go and, if it's in a microwave-safe cup, I go and put it in the microwave and heat it back up. I enjoy it when it's hot. If it's still warm, that's okay. But once it gets to cold, I don't like it too much anymore. Now, I have been known to drink cold coffee during the summer, you know, iced coffee. But we've gone completely to the other degree then. And if I let that iced coffee, you let all the ice melt and it gets watered down and then it's just room temperature, it's not very enjoyable anymore. When I drink tea, sometimes I drink hot tea, but most of the time it's iced tea. And so I expect it to be cold and refreshing. I don't have quite the same reaction to a tea that is room temperature that I do with coffee, but I look for it to be cold. And the whole idea is when I drink that, I'm expecting a certain type of refreshment. So we're in the colder months now, and I always have trouble with my feet. It seems like I can never get my feet warm. When I'm home during this time of year, I'm usually wrapping my feet up. Sometimes I have a little heating blanket that I'll put around my feet, and even that doesn't get them completely warm. But a lot of times I'll go get a hot drink, and that will help me to warm up and feel a little bit better. But I'm expecting that hot drink to be exactly what I'm looking for, and for it to be anything else is certainly a disappointment. I think that's what we can hone in on. Jesus says, "You are a disappointment to me. I've looked at your works, and I wanted them to be refreshing or acceptable. I wanted them to be what I like, but I didn't find that. And in fact, I wish you would either be what I want or make the choice altogether to not be what I want, but instead you try to sit in the middle. And you need to understand that being in the middle is not acceptable either. Not being what Jesus wants is not acceptable." So there are three categories here. You've got one category that says, this is what I'm looking for. You've got another category that, well, you're trying to sit in the middle, but you're still not what I'm looking for. And then you've got the third category of the opposite of what I'm looking for. But understand what Jesus is describing is that two of those three are completely unacceptable. So even though he says, I would that you were either cold or hot, he's saying, make your choice. Either be with me or against me. Don't try to sit in the middle because that's not going to work either. So I think it's very important that we understand that point that he's making to them. In verse 17, he gets down to the heart of the matter of what the problem really is. He says, you say, I am rich, I've prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are exactly the opposite of what you think you are. You are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So here you have this city of people that are engaged in commerce and they are doing very well. And even when they have a disaster that hits their city, they are able to recover from that disaster all on their own. And so they're very arrogant about this, that they are completely independent and don't need help from anybody. But understand that as a Christian, you can't have that attitude. You can't be a Christian and say, I have no need of God. For you absolutely do need God. You need the grace of God. You need His covenant. You need the blood of Jesus. You cannot go it alone. And at no point can you decide, I have reached a point in which I don't need God anymore. Maybe He helped me get here, but I'm doing good now and I don't need Him anymore. You don't ever reach that point either. You always need God. So verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may be see. So he says, you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So get the gold so that you're not poor. Get the garments so that you're not naked. And anoint your eyes so that you're not blind, and all of these things will help you to not be wretched and pitiable anymore. But he's talking about in the sight of God. It doesn't matter how men see them. It doesn't matter if they're one of the upstanding members of the community that has all the money they could ever need. None of that matters if you fail to be acceptable to God. And if you fail to be acceptable to God, you have simply failed. That's the answer. You have failed completely if God will not accept you. Verse 19, so that they don't misunderstand all of this, he says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So he says, I'm telling you these things because I love you. I'm telling you these things so that you can make a correction before it's too late. So be zealous and repent. Love him the way he loves you. That's what he's saying. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. So he says, if you will heed the things that I'm telling you, then we can have a relationship. I can truly dwell with you. And that's talking about acceptance. if you will humble yourself, be zealous and repent, then he can accept you. Verse 21, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. We've talked about this language before of an encouragement. If you will do this, then you will have all the blessings that are associated with this covenant relationship with God. And verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Don't ignore it. Open up and listen. Pay attention to what's being said. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.